Just lift our hands and praise Him. He's our rock. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you, youth choir, for that encouragement. That's a good way to wake up, is praising Him. Amen. If you turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, it won't be long. We'll be finishing this Bible study of the Epistle of John. Things will stick in your mind. Years ago, our youth pastor at the time, and what he was saying was perfectly right. He was putting in a plug for Wednesday night service, and he was talking about a Bible study I was doing, and he said something like, "You need to just come out on Wednesday night and endure sound doctrine." And that is biblical. The Bible says there comes a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. Amen. You can read these instruction manuals, and not too many of them just excite the boots off of you, you know. How many's ever shouted just reading an instruction manual? But aren't you glad you got the instructions? Amen. Just remain seated. We're going to be looking at only six verses tonight, 1 John chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6. I wanted just to announce what I'm going to entitle this section tonight, and we're going to treat it very seriously, but I want to announce it, and then I want us to pray together over the word tonight. I want to talk to you tonight very seriously from John's material about discerning the demon behind the doctrine. Discerning the demon behind the doctrine. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words that you inspired John to write. And Lord, I feel like we need them more desperately today than those in John's day needed them. Lord, talk to our hearts. Lord, not perhaps that we need correcting, but that we would realize the time in which we live and how we need to be salt and those that stand for the truth. Lord, anoint me to speak tonight. Help our hearts to be quickened by your word, Lord, across the spectrum of the church. In Jesus' name, amen. I always like to start with a story, and I don't have one tonight. I just want to make some statements. You see, I don't believe in tearing other churches down just to try to make ours look good. And I don't believe in tearing other ministries down just to try to make mine look good. I don't believe in doing that. But I do believe that people need to be warned that not all churches and all preachers tell the truth, preach the truth, teach the truth. It's not with arrogance I say that. Now, I'm going to make some statements that I heard. It's okay to smoke. It's okay to cuss. It's okay to get tattoos. It's okay to have relations before marriage. It's okay to be homosexual. Now, here's the thing. All of those things that I have told you tonight, they didn't come out of the world. They came out of churches and came from church people. You would expect them for coming out of the world. They don't. I mean, one of those things, a preacher got up at a mega church and said, I'm going to start saying a few cuss words just so you can know how human I am. I'm pretty sure he didn't have to say curse words for people to catch on that he was human. But the startling thing is these things didn't come out of the world. They came out of the church. Did you know if a Christian would stop and think about it, American Christians and churches are rapidly changing their beliefs and are embracing radically new ones. How many would just stop and think about that moment and say, that's true. Just some of you are fairly young, but you could say, in my lifetime, the church is speedily changing its beliefs. Let me just tell you some beliefs that have changed in just the last few years. They're becoming popular amongst churches. There's no such thing as eternal hell. People from all religions will make it to heaven. The Bible doesn't really condemn homosexuality. It doesn't matter how you live because the grace and love of God covered it all. These are truths that have been changed in just the last few years. Have you ever wondered, how can people be so deceived and swept up in these false doctrines? I mean, how can somebody that calls themselves a preacher be on the front lines of promoting marriages that are not marriages and that the Bible clearly condemns? How can a preacher be that deceived? John's going to tell us tonight. I want to ask one more question. I think this is always good for us to ask ourselves. But have you ever wondered, have you ever stopped and wondered, how do I know that I'm not being deceived? You ever thought about that? John's going to answer that question too. He's going to answer those questions tonight. So let's just begin. Let's just jump right into these verses. First of all, let me tell you what John says. John says there are a lot of lying preachers out there. I didn't say that. John did. There are a lot of lying preachers out there. Let's look at 1 John 4, verse 1. John said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because here it is, many false prophets are gone out into the world." What John tells us makes false teaching even more alarming and frightening and eye-opening. First of all, he said there are false prophets that are going to be in the church. He said, don't believe them, but there's going to be many false prophets. And by the way, when it says they're gone out into the world, here John doesn't mean they went out and went worldly and went into the places of the world. It means they went out amongst the inhabitants of the world, the people. But John says they're going to come to your church. You're going to have an opportunity to believe them or not believe them. There are a lot of lying preachers out there. John was warning them that preachers and teachers would come to their church to preach a particular type of message and teach a particular type of doctrine. He said there's going to be many of them, lots of them. You know, I've often made this challenge, and I'll make it again. Not just John, but Peter and Paul and even Christ said that in the last days, there's going to be these false prophets and false teachers. And my challenge is, if some of them on religious media, TV, radio, writing the books, making the speaker, if some of them aren't the false prophets, where are they? I mean, if these are the last days, then there's going to be these false prophets. And I just want to tell you on the authority of what John says, in our time, there are a lot of lying preachers and teachers out there. They're not preaching, teaching the truth. The second alarming thing John's going to share with us is that there is an evil spirit behind every false teacher and teaching. That's frightening. I want you to really think about that. There is an evil spirit behind every false teaching and teacher. Let's look back at verse 1 again. I want you to notice the language here. It's important. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Go down to the clause here. Because many false prophets. Believe not every spirit because many false prophets. You know, it's important John doesn't say, don't believe every preacher, don't believe every teacher. It's important that he puts it this way, don't believe every spirit. Why? Because in John's time, they understood something sometimes we forget. In John's time, they understood that every prophet spoke by spiritual inspiration. Some spirit was inspiring the words of that preacher and teacher. And therefore, John says, don't believe every spirit because there'll be many false prophets. Now, here's the thing. Now, doesn't it kind of frighten you? I want you to think about that a moment. I know I'm being redundant, but let me make the statement again. Behind every false teaching and teacher, every false preacher and preaching is an evil spirit. A prophet is inspired by a spirit. Here's the question, though. Which spirit is the prophet inspired by? And it's really this simple. Either a preacher, teacher is inspired by the Holy Spirit, or they are inspired by an unholy spirit. In fact, Paul calls them doctrines of devils. He says the same thing. There's a devil behind the false doctrine. That's important for where we're going in a minute. You say, but wait a minute, Pastor. It sounds so biblical. Yes, but how many know Satan knows the Bible better than we know it? Look, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this, and it's not humility, it's a fact. The devil knows the Bible better than your pastor knows it. And I don't have time to get into that, but I'm going to tell you, just because it sounds biblical doesn't mean it is biblical. Because you can patchwork something from Scripture. You can take a phrase here, a phrase there, a word here, a word there, and it sounds biblical. Just because it sounds biblical doesn't mean it is biblical. You say it sounds so spiritual. And that's the point John would make. Not everything spiritual is a spirit from God. Some things that are spiritual are evil spirits. Look, you cannot, you know, I think we're getting this, but you cannot convince me when you see churches so quickly adopting and accepting such diabolical teachings, you cannot convince me there are not evil spirits behind it. Listen to some of the things people are saying on the television and radio and the things that they're supporting and the wrong-headed thinking and the craziness, and you cannot convince me that was all germinated just in the human gray matter. There are evil spirits that are promoting that. And here's the frightening thing. John didn't say these evil spirits were in the people of the world spreading it in the world. He said these evil spirits were in the prophets and spreading it in the churches. How many would attest you believe that we are in that place? So let's go on. The next thing John would say, even from this first verse, he would say, we are warned and commanded to test the spirit behind the teaching. We're going to end there in just a few moments, what the test is. We are commanded to test the spirit behind the teaching. Look at verse 1 again. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. The word try, we've already ran across it in John, but the word try was a word that meant to test for authenticity. You know, I think I told you at that time, in those old black and white westerns, you know, somebody, back when they paid with real gold coins, somebody paid with a gold coin, what did they do? They bit it. They were trying it to see if it was real, to see if it was genuine. And so we are, you know, John is telling us we are to try the spirit. Now, let me deal with another thing that you hear over and over and over. You hear it from news commentators. You hear it from people on the street over and over. You know what you hear all the time? Don't judge. Don't judge. Well, that sounds like a false teaching to me. Don't judge. Don't judge. Don't judge it. Well, he's not a man of God. Don't judge. How many hears that? And you know what they always follow that with? The Bible says we're to love one another. Now, I want you to get this. You can check it out right now or you can check it out later. But all the end, most of chapter 3, John's been talking about love, 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 love. After we get through verse 6, you know what John goes back to talking about? Love, 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 love. And right in the middle of talking about love, 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 John says, try or judge the spirits. That lets me know that trying and judging and evaluating are not contrary to love. Like the world tries to teach us, right in the middle of that context. Test. They use this word try to talk about testing metals. Is it gold or is it fool's gold? And even in those times, they use this word try to investigate somebody's resume. Somebody shows up and says, I'm so-and-so. I've got this background. I can do this. To check that background out was to try, using this word here. And John says, when a preacher, a prophet begins to speak, you try them to see if they're authentic. You know, here's what I gather from this. If you have to try them, if you have to test them, it must be difficult to tell the difference. Doesn't that make sense? Now, believe me, I don't know the difference. But I know some folks have got taken because they didn't know the difference between a Coach purse and a knockoff. because they make the knockoff to really resemble. So if you have to test something, that means that it's difficult to tell the difference. So why do we need to test? Well, John is writing about false prophets and teachers, but they claim to be good Christians. They claim to have the Holy Spirit. They claim to be telling the truth. Now, let me tell you something. If a false teacher was to make their way here, they wouldn't walk up and take the microphone and say, "Hi there, I'm a false teacher. I've come to contradict everything you've been taught, and I've come to present to you a new way of looking at Scripture, and it's really not what the apostles taught, and it really won't result in holy living, and it really won't get you to heaven, but I'm here to teach you something that's false." They don't do that. They always come under the pretense of they're a man of God, they're a woman of God, they're spiritual, they've heard from God. God has told me, God has shown me. That's why you have to try them. They always claim it's from the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, and this isn't a test, but let me just jump ahead and give you a little nugget here. Basically, if you listen to a modern prophet, here's how they would you could summarize it, what they're saying. If you listen to me, you'll still be able to be spiritual, you'll still be able to make it to heaven, and go ahead and enjoy the pleasures of this world at the same time. That's how you know, if you listen to false teachers and preaching today and summarize their teaching, that's what they're saying. You can still be spiritual, you can still make it to heaven, and enjoy the pleasures of the world at the same time. You see, there's a true preacher, there's a false preacher. They both say they are Christian. They both say that they're sharing what God wants them to. They both say the Bible teaches. They're both passionate, but they are telling you something that is opposite the other. Which one is telling the truth? Well, John says, try them. Well, how do we know? How do we test? What is the test? Now, before I get to the test, let me tell you something that's not in John. It's from Paul. But God has put certain people in the church and given them a gift of the discerning of spirits. If you would think you would know of people even in our church that have the gift of the discerning of the spirit, something can be sound so convincing, but they're telling you, hey, wait a minute, there's some red flags here. Do you know people like that? Paul said we need to listen to folks like that. They are gifted with the discerning of spirits. And you know, sometimes, you know, you young people, you may hear pastors say, you know, watch out for this, watch out for this. Well, God has put people in the church with the ability to discern spirits. But that's Paul. John says, even though that is true, every believer has the responsibility to test what they hear preached and taught. You don't just rely on those that have the gift of discerning of spirits. Every one of you, young, old, in between, every born-again believer has the responsibility to test. And I will even tell you, as I preach, as I teach, you test that against the Word of God. What do people usually use as a test today? I'm going to get to John's test in a moment. But what do people normally use as a test today? And I'm not trying to be facetious. I've read a lot of this stuff, this false stuff, and I've studied it. And here's what I get that people use as a test today. These are not the tests to use. They are the tests that many people use. If they're trying to determine if a preacher or teacher is really right or not, they test it with, who's the most charismatic? By that, I'm not talking in the sense of Pentecostalism. I'm talking about personality, magnetism, charisma. Who's the most exciting to hear? Who moves the emotion? And I know sometimes it seems like the one that preaching the truth is dry as many weeks without milk. I don't know. You know, they're just dry. And then the person that's got the false doctrine, he just goes, woo, and people swoon. Oh, I mean, just he's just so charismatic in his person. But a test so many people use today is, who moves me? Who makes me feel good? Who gets to my emotion? That is not a test. Another test people use today is, who has the most followers? Who can draw the largest crowd? I'll tell you this incident in short because I've told you in long before, but I was working with a new convert once, and I had to deal with him from the Word of God, and he was out there on the parking lot, and he got very angry. And he said, I'm going to go to another church because I heard them on TV, and they said this and this about you, and pointing to me. And he said, and they're telling me something different, and you're telling me, and he said, who am I going to listen to? He said, you preach to 200, and that other preacher preaches to 5 or 10,000. He said, now you tell me who I should listen to. I said, you should listen to the Word. That's what you should listen to. But do you see how people use that as a test? I want to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, the man with the largest church in America teaches false doctrine. Another test is, which is more in line with what I really want to do down deep in my heart? That's another test. You listen for the one that tells you what you want to hear. Another test is, what's more in sync with the prevailing, in vogue sentiment and opinion and feeling of the times? What's with it? What teaching is with it? You know, I was listening to one thing on YouTube today, and the interviewer was talking to a preacher. And the preacher said, what the Bible says, and the interviewer said something real close to this. But wait a minute, preacher. The times have changed. People have changed. Don't you need to change what you believe to stay up with the times? Did you know many churches are doing that upon that premise? It's not what the Bible says anymore. It's times have changed. People have changed. How many knows the Word of God is from everlasting to everlasting, and God said not one jot or tittle shall ever be changed until all be fulfilled. So those are tests. John gives us two good tests. We're going to get to them in a moment. But back to this idea of trying for what is genuine. You know, there's that antique road show. How many times have you seen somebody disappointed because they thought they had the genuine article? And the expert said, wait a minute, this has got saw teeth marks on it. They didn't have saws back then. Wait a minute, this is a wrong kind of shellac. They didn't have shellac with that content in it before. And the expert could tell. Well, John has given us some tests where we can tell. Here's the first test. False teachers are to be tested by what they teach compared to what Jesus and the apostles taught. Whatever somebody teaches, is that what Jesus taught? Is that what the apostles taught? You see, all since the beginning of the epistle, John says, what you hear from us is the same thing which was from the beginning. It was what Jesus taught. It was what the apostles taught. Here it is in verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And we'll look at the latter part of the verse in a moment. John says the test is, what do they say? What do they think? What do they believe about Jesus? And is it the same thing that Jesus taught about himself and the apostles taught? You see, in this particular epistle, the false teachers, and I'm not going to go all into that again, but they were teaching that Jesus and Christ were two different people, and the God Christ came upon the man Jesus at baptism, and so God was not really made flesh. They were teaching that. Now, here's the thing. Not every false teacher errs at that point, but what John is saying is they must be teaching what the apostles taught. I would say this, every false doctrine always stumbles on the nature of who Jesus is. You know, this seems very subtle, but it's not. I hear people say all the time, well, this group believes in Jesus, that group believes in Jesus. But it's not just believing in Jesus, it's believing Jesus is who he said he was and who the apostles said he was. And John said, you must believe that Jesus is God come in the flesh. Jesus is not just a prophet, he's just not a teacher, he's not just a good moral example. Jesus is God come in the flesh. So the first test is, what they're teaching, is it in line with what Jesus and the apostles taught? Look at the latter part of verse 3. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Now, this is in John's time, and he says the spirit of Antichrist was in the world. What was the spirit of Antichrist? In context, it was the spirit behind the false teachers. Did you see the two spirits there? In verse 2, it's talking about the spirit of God. That's behind true doctrine. But the spirit of Antichrist is behind false doctrine. When you hear somebody stand up and say, you know, homosexuality is okay according to the Bible, that's spirit of Antichrist behind that teaching. And that's the frightening thing. Amen. The doctrine of the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist, is the very spirit that motivates and inspires the false teaching of even today. Before we get to the second test, let's look at what something else John tells us. False teachers are overcome, or we overcome false teachers, by the Spirit at work within us. See, it's not just a dry checking with the Bible. The Holy Spirit in us helps us overcome false teaching. That's why it's important to stay full of the Spirit. People full of the Spirit are not deceived by false doctrine. Look at verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I want you to stop and think about this verse. Please, please understand it. I'm not going to take anything away from it. But we love this verse, don't we? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. How many loves this verse? Come on, I'm not trying to trick you. I love this verse. But you know, we always interpret it in the general sense. We got lots of battles. We got lots of things against us coming from the world. We got demons. We got the devil. We got ugly people. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And that's true. But specifically, John was applying that differently. How was he applying it? Well, let's look again. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's the them? Somebody tell me who the them is. The false teachers. The false teachers. You have overcome the false teachers. How did you overcome the false teachers? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. See, he that's in the world is behind the false teachers. But the Holy Spirit is in you. So when he that's in the world behind the false teachers come, you overcome the false. You recognize it. The Holy Spirit in you says, that's not right. They're not teaching you right. It sounds spiritual. It sounds wonderful. It sounds great. But the Holy Spirit says, there's something off here. Have you ever heard somebody teach or preach and the Holy Spirit literally did that in you? There's something off here. Something's not right. Let's move on to the second test. Here's the second test. The first test is the teaching must be as Jesus and the apostles taught. Here's the second test. False teachers are to be tested by who listens to them. Think about that. Who is accepting what the false teachers teach? Look at verse 5. They are of the world, the false teachers. Therefore speak they of the world. You can't tell it any difference between what they're saying and what the world says. And the world heareth them. Here's the question to ask about somebody, a teacher or preacher. Who listens to them? Who accepts what they're saying? If it's the worldly-minded Christian that accepts what they're saying, what does that tell you about the teacher? Right? Think about that. John says you can tell they're a false teacher because the world hears them. Amen. What kind of people listen to that teaching? Are they mature, godly, living saints? Are they those that make the Word of God their standard of living? Are they those that exemplify the Spirit of Christ? Or are they worldly living, haphazard, non-committed believers who listen to them? The world heareth them. Look what it says of the false teachers, or John did. Therefore speak they of the world. If when you listen to someone, they are really saying the same thing, the same mantra, the same message of the world, it's because whatever religious pretense they come under, whatever religious coded words they use, whatever religious titles they have, whatever religious positions they have, they are still of the world. If what they're saying is the same thing that the world says, it's because They're of the world. They're a false teacher. They speak of the world. Now, a while ago, I kind of did a tricky thing. At the first, I made some statements and said they weren't from the world. They came out of the church. Now I'm going to make some statements that came out of the world. How can one religion say another religion is wrong? They all worship God. God can't be loving and send people to hell. If God were good, there wouldn't be any suffering in our world. God loves the homosexual, therefore homosexuality is okay. You can't say anything is sin and wrong because Jesus said, don't judge. God only looks on the inside, so whatever we do with the outside of our body is okay. Those things are said by people of the world. But the problem is, they're also said by many teachers in the church. And what it does, it confirms what John says. He said, the false teachers are really of the world. Therefore, speak they of the world. They say the same things the world does. And the world hears them. I tell you, if somebody comes in and teaches, and it's the one that has had no dedication to their life, they're always worldly minded. They're saying, that's great, that's great. And the godly person, the person who loves the word of God, is saying, oh, something's wrong here. That ought to be an indication. That's the test. Who listens to them? Who accepts what they're saying? You know, this is not a political thing, but, you know, I believe that Republicans are infatuated to get the media to like them. There's only one problem. If the media, being what it is, starts accepting and liking Republicans, it will be a huge indication the Republicans have changed their message. And if the world begins to accept something the preacher says and to laud them, there's only one possibility. The message has been changed. Amen? Let's look at verse 6. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. See the opposite? If they're of the world, then the world hears them. But we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that's not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Here's the test. Here's how you know the true teaching and the false teaching. Now, I want to say this. It's only as I'm speaking this word by the anointing of the Spirit. But if I'm telling you what Jesus said from this book, and somebody says, I don't want to hear that, I don't listen to that, that's not a reflection of what I'm saying. That's a reflection of where they're at. Because the Bible says if they are of God, then they will hear the words of God. Just like if they're of the world, they'll hear the words of the world. It's a test. Who listens? Who accepts? So we know the spirit of truth because those that are of God, they receive it. We know the spirit of error because those who are of the world receive it. Brother Earth, I'm just going to forget the rest I had tonight. Test it. Try the spirits. Many people haven't tried the spirits. Whole denominations have changed. People are deceived. And don't forget, there's an evil spirit behind every false doctrine and false teacher. Doctrines of devils. I'll probably say her name wrong. Is it Lady Gaga? Sound like baby talk or something. Is that how you say her name? Okay, I'm not going to incriminate you if you know how to say her name. I'm not going to assume that you have her music on your player. In an interview, Lady Gaga, here's what she said. She said, what I've discovered is that in art, as in music, there's a lot of truth, and then there's a lie. And the artist is essentially creating his work to make this lie a truth. He slides it in amongst the other. And the tiny little lie is the moment, she says, I live for. That's my moment. It's the moment when the audience falls in love. Now look what she said. She admits, she's being honest. She admits that what much of modern art is trying to get out is a lie. And she says the way we do this, we have this truth there, and then we slide the lie in. And she said the moment I live for is when the audience, they accept that lie. Now, I'm not even preaching against music, but that ought to, for every Christian young person, out of her own mouth, that ought to be telling you a whole lot. She said she lives to get the audience to accept the lie. And she says they'll begin to love that. Do you see John's truth here? Why do they accept the lie? Because they're of the world. And being of the world, they accept what she says. Thank God there are people full of the Spirit and know the teaching of truth that will not accept the lie. Now, I'm going to close right here, but let me tell you something else. Paul says, and I tried to stay with John. He said, in the last day, God will send a spirit of delusion that people will believe a lie. Basically, that means if you don't want not to be fooled, you will be fooled. I don't want to be fooled. I don't want to be deceived. Do you? Amen. I got some quick questions here. Let me get my glasses on. Is it the one saying, judge not, judging? Yes. The moment they look at you and say, you're judging. Well, what are you doing? Right? And it's and really, I'm not even getting into theology, but it's such a limited expression. Don't judge, because judge can mean to evaluate. You do that when you pick your produce, right? Judge can mean to critique, you know, and judge can mean to condemn, and judge can mean to sentence. And the thing is, we do not have the right to condemn and to sentence, but we do have the responsibility to critique and evaluate. Amen? Here's another question. Did I read the question out loud? The first question, did I read it out loud? Okay. Okay, this is a little longer question. Normally, someone who is caught up in false doctrine is too lazy to look up the truth for themselves or don't care if they're being deceived. If that's the type of person you're concerned about that's being deceived, do we just let go and pray they find the truth, praying for the opportunity to help them, or pursue the deceived to warn them, speaking the truth in love? When do we know when to pursue with concern and when to hush and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? And a lot of the answer was in the question, and it is as new to me as it is to you. But when people are set on doing wrong, basically there's nothing you can do to turn them around. But there's two things. Sometimes you are in a position where you are responsible to say something to them, even though you know they're not likely to respond. For instance, one of the youth, Brother Brian, is in a position. He sees him being deceived. Then by position, you're responsible to warn them, even though you may think it's not going to do any good. Same with a parent. A parent would be responsible. A pastor, Sunday school teacher, would be responsible. There's another thing in here, too. It's a spiritual warfare. It's a false spirit behind the deception. The Holy Spirit knows how to counteract that, too. And that's why we have the gifts of the Spirit. They may not be willing to listen to the Sunday school teacher just teaching a normal lesson or the preacher preaching, but God knows how with His Spirit to exercise a gift through someone, and they give a prophetic word that wakes that individual up. But also that question is valid. Just in the normal scheme of things, if their heart is set on wrong, they're going to have to learn themselves. And I think of something Paul said in church discipline. Sometimes you have to turn people over to the devil and that their soul can be saved. If they're set on going wrong, you just have to let them go. And hopefully, when they begin to reap the consequences, they'll see the error. And that's such an involved question. I didn't get to a lot of that. Here's another one. I've got two more. I have seen when a false prophet begins to work in a church, they will almost always demean the pastor of the congregation or try to argue against the leadership. Is this also a good litmus test for whether someone is really of God or not? It definitely is. The Bible over and over speaks of respecting the authority structure, the authority change. And Jesus, in particular, he says, you know, you got to be under authority if any of these things are going to happen. Think of Hebrews, obey them which have the authority over you, for they watch for their souls. And, you know, one of the most encouraging things to me was lately, and I talked to so many people, sometimes I forget where the source is from, but someone was really in danger of being deceived, and they said to me, but God spoke to me from his word to listen to my pastor, because it says here in Hebrews, my pastor watches for my soul, and I'm to obey them. And again, that obey is with all these precautions we've given tonight. Check out what I say against the word, okay, as pastor. It always is. If someone rebels against the youth pastor, they will rebel against God. If they rebel against their parents, they'll rebel against God. You can't have it one way or the other. It's just simple. God said obey your parents, right? So if you don't obey your parents, you're not just disobeying them, you're disobeying God. One more question here, and I hope I'm not being too skeletal on these answers. If a preacher teacher uses his personal tattoos to tell the gospel, would that mean that they are a false teacher? There's kind of two parts to this question. First of all, it assumes that personal tattoos will tell the gospel. I mean, you know, this kind of line of thinking, you just got to push it to its logical conclusion. If that really works, then why don't we get labels and put them on beer cans? Right? Same kind of thing. You know, the means or the end does not always justify the means. It doesn't. That is a rampant teaching of the world. It's false teaching that the end justifies the means. If you're going to do that, you can justify anything. You could say, let's abort babies because babies go to heaven. Right? We don't want to go down that way of thinking. I think it's all the questions. Now remember, John says we all have the responsibility to try the spirits. Amen. Would you stand? Appreciate your attentiveness tonight to the Word of God. Music, go ahead and come if we have music tonight. Amen. I think it ought to be in every one of our hearts. I don't want to be deceived. God, help me to stay in the Word. Help me to stay sensitive to your Spirit. You know, I don't mean this facetiously, and I'm going to have you come pray. But better preachers than I have been deceived. Amen? Better Christians than you have been deceived. What happens? It's a process of not keeping the heart tender before God. Someone in the question of getting a spirit that begins to rebel against everything you're taught. Stay in the Word. Keep your heart tender where the Holy Spirit can speak to us. I want to try the spirits, don't you? Try them right now. Try the spirit of what I said tonight. Amen. Would you come and pray? Amen. God bless you.